Pastor Mike Fritcher and the Cottonwood family would like to welcome you to Living on Every Word.
Worship and sing a song of praise. Come into His house of joy sustained. Living on Every Word.
When it seems like life is impossible, when it seems like the circumstances are daunting, when you don't think you can go another step, we do have a God who will carry us. He carries us. Yeah, there's times that I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, and He's disciplined me so that I might stay on that road that leads to life, even going through the hard times and the circumstances. And I look back and I think, oh God, You've carried me.
Living on every word.
Living on every word. We have been looking at the love of the Father in our study on 1 Peter chapter 3. And what I want to do is I want to begin where we ended last week with the same clip that we showed about a love of a Father and how He caused us to be born again, according to 1 Peter, to a living hope. And what I want to do is I want to look at this living hope today and what really the finish line is. If you weren't here last week, just want to set this up again. A father-son team, Dick and Rick Hoyt. Rick is a spastic paraplegic who cannot walk or talk, and one day communicated to his father that he wanted his father to be arms and legs for him to run in a race for another paraplegic that had gotten in an accident. And since that time, they've run 800 races. This clip is a clip of the Ironman in Hawaii, where this father pulls this son for 2 miles, where he picks him up and puts him in the bicycle and rides for 115 miles. Puts him in the wheelchair and pushes him for 26 miles. The whole point of this message this morning is that no matter what you're going through, if you are born again and He has caused you to be born again, we have a God who's going to see you through. Do you have a proper understanding of who the Father is? Do you have a proper understanding of who the Father is? That He has started a work in your life. He has started it in my life, and He is a God that wants to bring you through. No matter what the circumstance is today, no matter what you're walking through, if you're having this intimate, growing relationship with the Father, if you are allowing Him to come and move in your life, that we have a Father, if we are aware of His presence, aware of His power, aware of even the absolute magnitude of what He has done to not only cause you to be born again, but to begin this race with such great power to finish the race. We have a God who is carrying you, who is pushing you, who is there, even if you don't think He is. That's the kind of God we serve today. So what is this finish line? What is the finish line that God is bringing us toward? What is the living hope? And I want to suggest to you that the finish line is the living hope. When Peter says that He has caused us to be born again to a living hope, what this simply means is that there is an anticipation that Jesus puts in your heart and my heart. Not some wishing, not some emotion that says, I hope that I'll get there one day. No, it's a hope that says, I am anticipating. I'm anticipating who He is, what He has done in my life, and I'm going to anticipate the finished work of Calvary. In 1 John chapter 3, we noticed this last week but didn't camp out on it. I want us to look at it again. 1 John chapter 3 speaks of the finish line. When you look at verse 1, he speaks about this intimate relationship with Him. The finish line, the living hope, is to be like Christ. It is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 1 says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed on us, that we would be called children of God. And such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know Him. Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not yet appeared what we shall be. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, because we shall see Him just as He is. And everyone, and here it is, who has this hope, this anticipation. What anticipation? The anticipation of the finish line. The anticipation of Christ-likeness. Whoever has this hope fixed on Him purifies himself just as He is pure. What I believe is that oftentimes when we go through the periods of struggle, maybe you have a problem or a struggle with being depressed sometimes. Maybe you have a struggle with being angry sometimes. Maybe you have a struggle sometimes in your marriage. You know, the ebbs and flows. They just come and you struggle in this period of time. You know, I've made the statement once or twice this week, talking with John Ann and a couple of other people. I believe the reason why we go through periods of struggle sometimes where we just can't handle the circumstance or the situation is because we've gotten our eyes off the prize. We've gotten our eyes off the prize and we've placed them on the circumstance. Isn't that right? I mean, think about it. Think about just the periods of your Christian life where it was just the pits, where it was just the struggle. You know, you didn't know if you were hearing God, and what happened is you took your eyes off the prize. The scripture promises here, if you have a hope, an anticipation fixed on Him, the anticipation of the prize, of the finish line, of Christ's likeness, the scripture says that you will purify yourself just as He is pure. Just as He is pure. You want to walk in the sanctifying power of God? You want to walk in the purity of the gospel and the purity of the word? You got to have your hope fixed on Him. And remember, it's not just a wishing. Not just a wishing that you hope that you'll get there. You know, the American kind of hope. This is the Greek kind of hope in the Greek language. It's something that's a certainty in your mind. That's what He says. We know that when He appears, we shall be like Him. We know this, He says. There is this sense that God puts in our heart, that He puts in our knower, that says, you know, I'm going to be like Him. And if you're living like that, if you're walking like that, if you've got this hope fixed on Him, He says, listen, you know what's happening? You're purifying yourself just as He's pure. And that doesn't negate the struggle. Please hear what I'm saying. We struggle. And sometimes God allows the struggle to come, and I would tell you, for His to achieve His purposes. But I think that the reason why we camp out so often in the junk and in the doldrums is because we've gotten our eyes off the prize. Fix your hope on Him today. Fix the hope, the anticipation that I'm going to be like Him. Not just fixing my anticipation on getting to heaven one day. I mean, that's a part. But what is the prize? It's Jesus. It's Christ. It is Christ's likeness. A second idea that we find in Scripture is in Hebrews chapter 12. I'd like for you to turn there as we look at the finish line or the living hope. Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews speaks of the Christian life as being a race. And he's talking about the runners in the race, those men and women who've gone before us as they walk through faith. And he says in verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Here it is, fixing our eyes on Jesus. Now, you know, when I fix my eyes on Jesus, I'm not just got this picture of the physical Christ, although that's part. I'm fixing my eyes on who He is, what He has spoken, what has come out of His mouth, the promises that have come forth from His throne room. I am fixing my eyes on everything that Jesus is, everything that He has said He is, and everything that He says He will do in our lives. That is a part of the character of Christ, the promise-making God. So when I fix my eyes on Jesus, when I fix my eyes on the promises, when I fix my eyes on what He has spoken and what He has said, the Scripture says He is also the author and the perfecter of faith. And what I find is that the finish line is perfect faith. Perfect faith. He's the author and the perfecter, the beginning and the finisher of our faith. He authored it, and if He authored it, I can be certain that He will finish it. He will perfect it. Now, when I think about these two principles of Christ-likeness and perfect faith, I want to tell you, I believe that today you can go from this place looking more like Jesus and having a more perfect faith. I mean, folks, there are some moments when we hear the Word of God and God bursts within us a faith that I can honestly say, boy, in that moment, because of what He's done, I believe with every fiber of my being. And in that moment, I have a sense of perfection in that faith. Or that moment that when someone comes against me or someone says something evil against me, or if there's a circumstance that generally causes me to worry and to fear, to walk in anxiety, and somehow in that moment, in that glimpse, I choose the right response, I look like Jesus at that moment. Am I totally perfect? Do I totally have perfect faith? No, but in that moment, I have a glimpse of what all eternity is to be about. It is those moments in my life where I don't fail and I don't blow it and I say the right thing. And it's not some kind of arrogant thing. It's not some kind of prideful thing. It's not some kind of thing that you pat your back about. But it's just something that you know when you look back over the test that somehow by the grace of God and the power of God, you pass the test. And if I can pass that test, I can pass the next one. And if I've moved through that temptation without falling to it, I can move through the next temptation without falling through it. All because I have fixed my eyes on the prize. I don't know about you, but I want to walk that way. I want to come to the next test. I want to come to that next portion of my life that God is going to pull me through or push me through or carry me through, just as we saw in the clip. And I want to pass that test because I know that my God is carrying me and that I have the presence of God in my life and I have the power of God in my life. I ask the question, do you have your eyes on the prize today? And are you certain of that prize? I mean, the prize of Christ-likeness, the prize, the finish line of perfect faith, the finish line of God saying, well done, the finish line of being approved by God, that God says, I approve of you, not because of anything that you have done in this life, but because of the work of Christ. And how the work of Christ has joined your life in this life as you have walked this out. The finish line is being approved by God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul, in this passage of Scripture, speaks of the race. He uses the illustration of the ancient games, the Olympic games. And in verse 24 through 27, notice what he says. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. And everyone who competes in the games, they exercise self-control in all things. And you've seen the stories. I mean, if you're an Olympian, the only way that you got to the Olympics is not just because you were talented enough, it's because you worked 8 and 10 hours a day for 4 years or more. I mean, you have practiced self-control in all things. That Olympian ate the right things, exercised, got the right coaches. That person got on the right supplements. I mean, he did everything. He did everything he could. He practices self-control in all things. Why? So that he might win that prize. And I want to tell you, if you're an Olympian, and I have no experience with this, but what I understand, that the eye is on the prize. And that's what causes them to get up early. That's what causes them to move away from home and live with the coach. Because they've got this eye on the prize. There's this potential. There's this possibility that somehow when it comes to the race or it comes to the performance or it comes to the game, that somehow in that moment they will be on. And being on to win by that millisecond, they haven't taken their eyes off the prize. And I want to ask you, have you taken your eyes off the prize of late? I mean, just look at your life. Look at your daily life. Look at your thought processes, what you think about, and what comes to your mind so often during the day. That'll tell you if your mind is on the prize or your eyes are on the prize. He says, listen, you run in such a way in your Christian life that you may win. These folks who are competing in the games, they're doing it to receive a perishable wreath. A perishable prize. Whether it's the wreath that they put on their head that wilted very quickly, or it's the gold that one day will be tossed away and used for pavement in the kingdom to come. It's perishable. The elements of this world will perish one day. He says, listen, these folks, they've invested their life and they want to receive a perishable wreath. But when we practice self-control and we have our mind on the prize and we're running in such a way to win, the Scripture says that we get an imperishable prize. The garland of victory is spoken in Isaiah chapter 61. The garland of victory. Paul says, therefore, I run in such a way as not without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air. I am not shadow boxing here.
I'm not running with just some kind of abandonment and just going in some direction. No, I'm running in such a way so that I might discipline my body, that I might make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, watch this, I myself will not be disqualified. The word disqualified is a word that means just simply unapproved. In the original, it's called adokimus. Adokimus. And it's often used in the context of a reprobate. A reprobate. And Paul says, listen, I'm running this Christian life in such a way that one day I will receive the prize. I've got my eyes on it. So that one day I will not be considered a reprobate, but considered by God approved, approved of Him. That's the finish line. The finish line is Christ's likeness. It's the perfection of our faith. It is being approved of God. Well done, good and faithful servant. This is what we run to. This is what we fix our eyes on. This is how we live our lives. In the practical aspect of running the race and finishing the race and finishing strong is simply submitting to the will of God, submitting to the life of God, submitting to the very things that God has provided for you and me to run the race and to finish the race. If He birthed it in your life, He's going to give you everything you need to finish and finish strong. Now, how do you finish strong? I believe you finish strong by finishing strong every day. That's what I believe. I believe you finish strong day by day. I mean, day by day, where I look over my life and I look past my day and I think, God, I missed you here. I don't want to miss you tomorrow here. Lord, I blew it in this response. Don't want to do that tomorrow. When I come to the end of a day, I want to look at what's been happening in my life, what's been taking place in my life, and ask, has I kept my eyes on the prize today? If you said, if I keep my eyes on the prize, if I have this anticipation fixed on you, I will purify myself just as He is pure. And all that simply means, folks, is that God is doing such a heart work in our lives that what's coming out of our heart are the proper responses in this life. Christ-likeness, perfect faith, being approved of God. And you know, I don't think that's an impossibility. Without Christ, of course it is. But it's the very power of God in your life. So what is God's part in this? How does God truly work in this race? I mentioned this a minute ago. You see, it's the Father who births us to this living hope. He births us to this finish line, this anticipation of what He's coming to do in our lives. But not only does He birth us, the Father comes along when it seems like life is impossible, when it seems like the circumstances are daunting, when you don't think you can go another step. We do have a God who will carry us. He carries us. I'm being carried by my God. Patriarch Jacob came to the end of his life and he said, you know, I look over my life and I realize the God who shepherded me all through these years. He shepherded me. Now, what does it mean to be shepherded by God? Sometimes it means that God picks you up and puts you on His neck and He carries you back to the fold. He carries you. When I think of being the shepherd guarding my soul, yeah, there's times that I'm going through the valley of the shadow of death, and He's disciplining me so that I might stay on that road that leads to life, even going through the hard times and the circumstances. And I look back and I think, oh God, You've carried me. You carried me through this time. And really, yeah, I kept my eyes on the prize and I was seeking You first and I was doing some proper things, but God, it was You all along that was carrying me. You got me through. You got me through. He is the God who carries. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 1, if you would. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 28. Verse 28 says, the children of Israel, they answer Moses, and where can we go up? Our brethren have made our hearts melt, saying, the people are bigger and taller than we. The cities are large and fortified to heaven. And besides, we saw the sons of Anakim there. And then I said to you, don't be shocked. Do not fear them. The Lord your God who goes before you will Himself fight on your behalf, just as He did for you in Egypt before your eyes, just as He did in the wilderness when you saw how the Lord your God, watch, carried you, just as a man carries his son in all the way which you have walked until you have come to this place. He was reminding them to say, listen, you came to this point where you walked in unbelief and you didn't go into the promised land. You didn't push on to the finish line that I had for you. And you rebelled. And God said to you, listen, God will carry you. God will do everything necessary to get you past the Jordan. Yeah, the cities are fortified. Yeah, the circumstance seems so impossible. Yeah, the people are huge and they are equipped for war. But I carried you out of Egypt. And I'll carry you into the promised land. I will go before you. And I will carry you through these circumstances. I will carry you to the promised land. The second thing that God does, not only does He carry us, the Scripture says that He gives the good gift of His Spirit. Turn to Romans chapter 8, if you would. Romans chapter 8. We saw the verse last week in Luke chapter 11, verse 13, that if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? So we're going to ask for the Spirit of God. Now, what does the Spirit of God do? Now, we're going to start in verse 12, chapter 8, Romans. Notice what he says. So then, brethren, we are under obligation not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you're living according to the flesh, you must die. But if you're living by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body and you will live. Now watch, verse 14. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Okay? Who are the sons of God according to this passage of Scripture? It's those who are being led by the Spirit. God gives you the Spirit of God so that the Spirit might lead you to this abundant living, to this right living, of becoming like Him, of walking like Him, of responding like Him, of speaking like Him. The day you came to Jesus, I gave you the Spirit of God so that this work would be fulfilled in your life. He gives you the Spirit to live abundantly, to make the right choices. The Spirit of God who will lead you, according to verses 13 and 14. Verse 15 says, for you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption as sons, watch, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Not just my Father, but my Daddy, Father, is what Abba means. Dada, Father. That's what Abba means. Abba. It is the first word that an Aramaic child usually learns. Just like your child either learned Dada or Mama first. The Aramaic Hebrew child would learn to say, Abba. First words, Dada. You know, the last time my son called me Dada was a long time ago. He learned Daddy, and he calls me Dad. When I walked through the door and he saw me, Dada. When he wanted me to pick him up, he held his hands up, daughters too, Dada. Dada, reaching for us. Totally innocent. Totally undefiled, totally, totally dependent upon the Father and the Mother's love. Dada, 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 Father, Abba, Father. Folks, it's the same Spirit in your life. That's why the Bible says, unless you become like children, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Unless you become like children. And a child, a baby, an infant who says Abba, who says Dada, is depending totally upon the Father's love. He has placed this Spirit within you that cries out, Abba, Father. Dad, Dad, Father, you're the one I need. You're the one I want. You're the one that's going to provide everything that I need. Dad, 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 Dad. The Spirit, verse 16, Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God. So the Spirit leads us to great living by crucifying the flesh and walking according, but the Spirit also assures us that we are children. There's this assurance of our relationship with God, this assurance of our salvation, because of the very Spirit within our lives that cries out to God, that cries out, Abba, Father, Dad, Dad, I need you. You know, I don't know about you, but I know that when I'm going through the rough and the tumble, when I'm going through the hardship, when I'm going through even failure or stuff where I've blown it, and I'm not living greatly, and I've messed up, and I've skinned my knee spiritually, or I have skinned my nose so everybody can see it, that you fell down. I've got a God who says, let me be your Abba. Let me pick you up
and get you running again on the race. Let me lift you up. He is the God who gives you the Spirit of the living God that cries out, Abba, Father, that assures us we are His children. And you know what else the Spirit does? The Spirit prays for our journey, prays for our weakness. Not only does He lead us by the Spirit, not only does He testify in our spirit that we're children of God, but He also prays for us. Notice what He says. I consider, verse 18, that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of the creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation is groaning and suffering the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. But hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. According to the living hope. According to the finish line. The Spirit of God given to lead you to abundant living. The Spirit of God given to you to assure you that you are a child of God. And the Spirit of God who will pray for you with groanings too deep for words. Praying for your finish. Praying for that living hope of being Christ-like. Of being like the Lord Jesus Christ. Of having that perfect, perfect faith. The finish line. Of being approved. I want you to bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? The finish line. In all its glory. The finish line. In all of its wonder. And we get over that line one day. And we're like Christ completely. Our faith has been perfected. We're approved by God, where He says, well done. We're going to know it's because God the Father carried us and gave us everything we needed to finish. And I want to ask you, church, are you depending today upon the Father God to be your arms and legs? Have you submitted to Him to allow Him to pull you, to push you, to carry you as He prays for you to finish and finish strong? Are you finishing strong? Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank You. I want to thank You for the life that You've given us, the life You died to give us. And I ask, Lord, that You might come in a mighty way. Lord, I don't know how You're speaking, but I know that there's some of us here that kind of have a pretty poor view of who the Father is. And I ask, Lord, that would be changed today. And I know there might be some others here who have taken their eyes off the prize. They've been so overwhelmed by the circumstances, they have forgotten where they're heading. Lord, I just ask, Father, for that new redirect today. Where they're redirected, where our eyes are fixed on You, Jesus, the finish line, the imperishable wreath, the prize of all prize.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, or to obtain a copy of today's message, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.